From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the Bleed Blue Show, the Knickerbocker Avenue Forum. Trey Burke, Mitchell Robinson, and two picks for the NBA, too. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive also on iTunes Podcast for public tuning and Stitcher episodes for the on-the-go devices. And, of course, you can stream the episode right on BleedBlueShow.com at any given point. I'm going to bring on Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for our New York Knicks. We're going to talk some Knicks, heavy Knicks, man. I've been itching to talk some damn basketball this week. It's like this is like one of the few platforms, if any, to talk basketball on a consistent basis. Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and also on Instagram. Avenue, brother man, how you doing, sir? How's everything?
What's going on, Steve? You know,
what's up, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to talk some Knicks, man. I'm hyped, man. I'm hyped for some reason, like as if they playing next week or something.
You know what it is? It's because we know training camp is less than like 2 weeks away. And it's about 2 or 3 weeks away, I think it is, if memory serves me correctly. Media day will be coming up. We'll finally get to see the actual team in their jerseys this year. As far as I know, no one changed their number, so don't frantic, Knicks fans. That you don't have to go to Modell's or Dick's or any of those, or to the NBA shop zone and start looking up new numbers or anything for your favorite player, but. Something I want to talk about before, something off topic about, not the Knicks related. If anybody who's ready to call into the show and calls in about 4 or 5 minutes early before the Jazz number that Block Talk Radio puts on this forum, it sounds like a late 70s, early 80s porn music, and it's freaking tripping me out. I was actually listening to it for like 4 minutes while waiting on hold. The freakiest thing in the world. I'm like, this is crazy, dude.
It's been like that for years, though, man. That ain't nothing new.
It ain't nothing new, but it's freaking because like I'm thinking to myself, it's like this sounds like a Vanessa Del Rio thing or something like that. I don't know. And now I'm dating myself a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
The New York Knicks.
yes. Our Knickerbockers.
The New York Knicks. You know what? Last week we had such a great time, you and I, talking about Kevin Knox and just the overall scope of the Knicks what I expect, what you expect. So let's talk about Trey Burke. After last season when we finally got called up in the Westchester and he kind of like assumed the starting role for Jared Jack and for Frank Ntilikina in a sense, it's like. I remember how many Knicks fans got so hyped because you can draw some of the comparisons to him. If you're looking at the game, he looks like a young Allen Iverson. Just physically wise, and some of his style of play can be resembled to him, but he has a different, unique style because he's more of a true. He's short, so he's supposed to be a point guard, and he does have the handle. He has the ability to be a true point guard, but he does have the ability to be an off guard, and that's something that I really hope that David Fizdale brings forward next year in utilizing him and hoping that he gets the quality minutes because we do have a backlog in the backcourt. Tim Hardaway Jr., Frank Ntilikina, Emmanuel Mudiay. Lord knows what we're doing with Ron Baker if he's going to get some burn. We have all these guards. You still have Courtney Lee on the roster. So Trey Burke, his minutes hopefully don't change too dramatically going forward. But if utilized correctly, he can be the guy that can help facilitate a lot of moving pieces for the Knicks because you do have Tim Hardaway Jr. who can be an lethal shooter when he wants to be. And he could be erratic at times. You have Courtney Lee who's a good spot up shooter. You have Emmanuel Mudiay. He is what he is, but if you're trying to develop him, Trey Burke would be the great catalyst to that because now you have a true point guard who can pick up some stuff during practices, but at the same time you can now play Mudiay on the off ball, on the off guard position, and you can utilize him in certain pick and roll positions. You can then help him develop his own confidence in his shot. maybe gain confidence to drive to the lane, draw some contact, get to the line, create more offensive opportunities for the Knicks, and that's what Trey Burke would bring. I really hope that Fizdale does utilize him correctly. But like I said, there is a logjam in that backcourt. We have 3, 4, 5 guards and only so many minutes to play them. So it's really interesting to see how Fizdale is going to incorporate Burke, and if he gives him a little bit more leeway now that he has a half season with the Knicks, with this roster, more because it's more or less still the same roster, just a couple of people are gone, a couple of people are not there. But if he and Knox, Robinson, if Kanter, Hardaway, if those guys can all start to develop that cohesion, that should make it a whole lot easier, because Trey Burke to me is, along with Kevin Knox, to when you finally when it was finally coming time to incorporate Kristaps Porzingis, because he has that great court vision. He does have a shot. He's fearless. He doesn't have a problem going to the hole, and he has excellent court vision. He's a guy that can rack up a lot of assists for the Knicks. Of course, if they knock down shots, but he can create those possessions, those extra opportunities, and that's something that I really hope that the Knicks utilize next year with him.
Absolutely, yeah, without a doubt. I've got Dominic with us. We'll bring on Dominic Denaro, the DP, on Twitter and also on the gram. Bring on our brother Dom. Dom, what's going on, man? How you doing? Talking Knicks, Trey Burke, Mitchell Robinson. We're definitely going to get your thoughts on some other players as well. Welcome back, Dom. How's everything?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Rough week for our Yankees. Oh, my God.
Hey. Tell me about it.
I got to say this, though, Steve, before I talk about the Knicks. Man, you got to knock it off with all that food at that tailgate party. I'm a food junkie, man. And every time I look at you, I'm like, God, I'd sooner, because I'm not a giant football fan, not Giants. I mean a giant football. But, man, that would be like a bucket list just to go to a tailgate party. That's, oof. But, anyway, Trey Burke, you know what, guys? I mentioned this last year. You know, here's a guy that stumbled and fell. But when you look at his credentials from high school player of the year, Mr. Ohio, freshman player of the year, first team Big Ten player of the year, consensus All-American. I mean, this guy had the talent. You know, mm-hmm. did it take him being humble, getting humbled, I should say, to get his priorities back on track? I still like to see the time, guys, where they at least try. And I know somebody would have to sacrifice when you go defense for offense. But I would love to see the combination of Trey Burke and Nil Aquino playing the two. Because now you got a lockdown defender, and you got a point guard that's aggressive. He could shoot. He can move. He's quick. You know, again, with the quickness and the NBA getting up and down the court, he has a little more court vision than, let's say, a Moutier. So that's like kind of my wish, that the Knicks would at least try this. And I mentioned this before. One, it gives the Knicks a point guard, and it gives Nil Aquino court time so that he's on the court and he could develop in other aspects. Maybe he'll become more aggressive offensively at the two. We're not too concerned about his defense. So now you don't have to worry about that. Where, you know, if you have him and let's say somebody else at the shooting guard, Nil Aquino, I'm talking about, then you still have that oxymoron of his lack of aggression. And again, I understand that comes with age, time on the court, but at least putting him at the two will give him more court time. And he needs to get more aggressive. Maybe he'll become more aggressive as a two because the ball's not in his hand all the time. I'm not saying, you know, Trey Burke is the next Nate Archibald, but I think he fits more of the mold of a point guard than a Nil Aquino. So I've always liked Trey Burke, guys. I liked him when he was in college. But, you know, he had that hiccup, guys. And you got to give a guy credit to have that kind of hiccup, go down to the G League, you know, and bounce back like nothing ever happened. You've got to give him credit. Is he part of the Knicks' long-term future? I don't know, guys. That goes back to the coach, the system the Knicks want to run, or where their vision's going after this year. But, you know, I like Trey Burke, guys. That's just me.
Hey, Av, let me follow up on that real quick. I want to get your thoughts. Matter of fact, I'm going to get both you guys' thoughts. Because, Av, I definitely want to pick your brain on this point guard situation. I think Dom brings a great point with the two-guard look with Burke and then Lakina. I want to go back to your words. The word humble, I think that's rained a couple of times since we started this episode. Do you think he could keep this fire up, Av? You know, the drive coming out of Westchester, you think he could keep that up going into the start of the season? I'm really back and forth with that. I just want to get your opinion on that, especially Dom's. But, Av, you're further. Do you think he could keep up how he came off coming from Westchester? Do you think he could start the season off with a bang? Or are we going to see the other Trey Burke?
I think that you'll see some of the old Trey Burke, but I think we'll still have the Trey Burke that we've come to know and love as a New York Knick, because he's still fighting for that contract. He's still fighting for that security. He's still fighting for his position, not only on the New York Knicks, but in the NBA in general. You know, It really comes down to, does he want to be, you know, in the conversation with the other point guards in the Eastern Conference, or is he just looking for just a payday? I think he's looking for both those situations. But the fact is that it really all depends on how they're utilizing him in practice and what the final decision is in terms of his minutes. Where, you know, and how Fizdale's going to plan on utilizing it, because if he does go with Moutier as a starting point guard, which I think would be a disaster, is a disaster waiting to happen. It could demoralize him. It could turn him back into the Trey Burke that needs to be humbled and sent back to the G League, and for him to build himself up again. So it really, in essence, he needs to step it up for his, you know, for his future. But at the same time, the Knicks have to utilize him correctly so that they can get the best Trey Burke, because they can easily demoralize him and basically ruin every, you know, the progression of Trey Burke as a point guard with the Knicks. Do I think that he can be, you know, that he's a point guard, you know, as part of the Knicks' future plans? I think he is. He's young enough. You know, by hypothetical speaking, if we do end up getting a Kyrie Irving or something like that, or whoever, you can still utilize him to run that second unit, because now he has experience running, you know, starting or, you know, playing heavy crucial minutes in, you know, in Madison Square Garden with this team. So I think that he can, you know, especially if the Knicks, you know, play their cards right and sign him later on, as opposed to, you know, oh, let's give them an extension now, because they have a really bad habit of doing that. And I'm not sure what the rules are, you know, in terms of him. But he still has a two-way contract from the last I checked. And he really needs to kind of, like, you know, kind of live up to that contract and more in order for him to, you know, secure himself, again, not just with the Knicks, but within the NBA. Because, you know, if he's valuable here in New York, he can be valuable elsewhere. And, I mean, he has that kind of style and that kind of aggression and that much talent that he can be a benefit to any team in the NBA. The benefit is that he's with the Knicks now. So it's up to him and it's up to the Knicks.
Dominic, you want anything to add to what you were saying before about being humbled? You saw his collegiate career, how he's gotten through the NBA, Jazz, Wizards, G League, Knicks. Anything else you'd like to add on top of what you said? I'll add on, and then we'll bring up some more stakeholders.
Here's the great thing about him that Knickerbocker Ave tapped into. He's 25. And when you talk about humble, you also got to talk about being hungry. And you know the old saying, guys, if you stay hungry, that'll ensure you never be hungry. So he's got something to prove. But he has the talent to prove it. And, again, it's another oxymoron of with him being on the Knicks. You know, take what Knickerbocker Ave say, but add to, okay, he's doing this, he's doing that, but the Knicks ain't winning. So they're still going to look at him like, man, you know what, he's doing that on the Knicks. You know, Back in the day, we heard, oh, Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, he's busting, but he's taking the NBA to school, but he's on the Wolves. Then the Wolves got a little bit better. So as long as the Knicks stay where they're at, how high is his ceiling going to be if the Knicks decide to go elsewhere and move forward from him? He's got to prove that he's hungry enough to stay in the league, stay on the Knicks, but also contribute to winning. And I think with some of these young guys he's going to have around him, like this Knox kid who's already talking winning, playoffs, you know, yeah, he might be a young kid, but he has a vision. And if that rubs off and you get him and Burke or whatever, if you're not winning, guys, it's going to be hard. It's got to be hard for any Knick that if they decide or the Knicks decide to move him, who's, you know, oh, he played for the Knicks. They won or they've lost 50 games the last 4 out of 5 seasons. He was on that team. You know, I think he has the talent, guys. We can't avoid that. Whether you like him or not, don't like his game, we're talking straight talent. He has raw talent. So he's got an upside to me on the Knicks, especially with some of the young guys the Knicks are acquiring. You know, not just Knox, Robinson. You know, you get guys that can run the floor like a Knox and a Robinson with Burke. You got a future, guys, because they're all young. They could all possibly grow together. Ain't that the goal? You know, to develop some cohesion and some structure going down the road. That's just me. Again, maybe it's because I like them, but I don't think I'm saying anything off the cuff just because I like him. I'm still evaluating his talent, what he could bring to a team. So I think he's hungry enough, Steve, but we just got to get some wins on the board to back up him being that hungry.
Yeah. Let's get Chandler on. That would be Night Chandler 7. Get his thoughts, and then we get back into the Burke conversation. Hey, Chandler, what's going on? Nickelback Avenue Fan Forum. Your thoughts on Trey Burke, the good, the bad, the ugly. How's everything, bro?
I'm good. Thanks, fellas. I like Trey Burke. When I was listening to Dominic talk, I was thinking of what he was talking about, like, oh, he's on the Knicks. On a bad team, Trey Burke is a guy who's going to get buckets galore on a bad team. Like Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis wasn't a winning player. His teams didn't really win a lot, but Monte Ellis got buckets. On a winning team, Trey Burke is a guy that you bring off the bench like your sixth man who can be really, really useful. Monte Ellis just wasn't a winning player. I think Trey Burke is now becoming a winning player. And by that, what I mean is his work ethic, what he does, how hard he works, the effort he's putting in, the work he's doing to his game. Because being a winning player, you can be a winning player and be on a bad team. You know, it's how you conduct yourself. So for me, I like everything about Trey Burke. I think it was Ab that mentioned Moody. I don't want Moody starting. I don't know if Burke starts, but I think Burke can be a huge contributor to this team. Will his team win a lot of games? I don't know. But I think he can be a huge contributor to this team. If the Knicks decide to move him, I think a lot of teams that have winning foundations would want him to bring him off their bench. So I like a lot of things about Trey Burke. The biggest thing I like is the fact that he has taken it upon himself to work on his game, to change his game, change his attitude, change his viewpoint, and you can see the difference in his game now than even when he was in college, when he first came into the league. He's a totally different player. Even though it's the same talent, it's a totally different player. So for me, I don't have a lot of negative things to say about Trey Burke. I think Trey Burke should have got more time last year. You guys know that. I think Trey Burke should get a lot of run this year. And I think Trey Burke can be part of a winning foundation with the right pieces around him.
You know, guys, it's nothing really you guys have said that I don't disagree with. And now you're kind of reminding me some of the things we saw last year, Chandler. It was mind-boggling to see him in a lot of stretches in some of these games with Hornacek having him on the bench, and we would come on Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum and just scratch our heads like, why is this guy not in the game? Did he do something in practice? Did he do something to piss off Hornacek? The way his attitude, even just his whole attitude, say, I want to start in the G League, I want to be in the Westchester and work on my game, it kind of says it all. I mean, like Dom said and Av said about this humble experience, you don't see former college stars, his, you know, a Final Four type player, really say things like that and really mean it. And then the moment he got to Westchester, he dominated, his scoring, worked on his game, his pull-up game, getting into the paint, splitting double teams. I mean, he worked on it all, and it showed. The moment he stepped on the Knicks varsity court, and there was the one game in particular, it was the Orlando game, he just showed out in the second half. There's really only two players on his roster that they attack with a purpose, but it's Burt to me who makes the most sense, or he takes the most he has the most sense with his shots. See, Hardaway Jr., when he wants to, he can attack with a purpose, but he is so wishy-washy, he's so inconsistent, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense the way his shot selection. It seemed like Trey Burke makes the right shot selection last year. The other things you guys said, now him coming off the bench, Av, what's your thoughts on that? Because I know we said Moutier starts, we said that probably Hardaway Jr. starts. You know, you already know my philosophy. I said this for several years. Although I would love him for the start, it probably would be in the best interest of the Knicks to have him come off the bench, but that doesn't necessarily mean you shorten his minutes. I mean, you could see him playing majority of the fourth quarter if the Knicks are in a tight game, because he's the only Knick we have at the guard position. Now you're adding on Knox. You're talking about a guy who could go to the hole consistently, draw fouls, and get to the line. Av, how you see the rotation, I mean, as far as coming off the bench, first quarter, second, third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, and then go back to Dom and so on and so forth?
Well, if he's starting, and you're right, it really doesn't matter if you're starting or if you're coming off the bench. The minutes distribution is all incumbent on the coach and of course the type of game. But I see, me personally, I'm starting him. He's the best point guard we have. And you want to set the game up on a good tone, you know, with proper spacing, proper, you know, crisp passes, and to set up some kind of presence, whether it's beyond the line or in the paint, one of the two. Either way, that's how I prefer to have it, you know. But in the off chance that my suspicion is correct, that you know that Moutier is probably your starting point guard because of Fizdale and because of Mills. Then Trey Burke coming, you know, to me, he's the first guy off the off the bench, you know, or the second guy right up behind Courtney Lee. And he, you know, he can definitely run that second unit. And, you know, if you're looking at that second unit, you know, if you're looking at the Knicks depth chart, you have enough young guys, enough young legs with Mitchell Robinson. You know, you still got Courtney Lee there. You're going to have, I'm spacing out right now, but you're going to have enough young guys, enough young legs to, you know, to still be able to move up and down the court. And of course, you're still going to keep one of the starters on. More than likely, it's going to be Knox or Hinzonja, and you would assume that Hinzonja is going to step up for, you know, just like we went at length when we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. But you would figure that he would come to camp in shape, be able to run up and down the court, keep up with Burke, because Burke can. The one thing that I noticed about him last year was that he was beating guys down the court, you know, almost, you know, 92 times out of 100 possessions. That's something that, you know, it's okay because he's your point guard, but at the same time, he has to always slow down unless he's able to create on a defensive matchup. So I really think I like to see him to be the starter, but if not, the sixth or seventh guy off the bench, and I really want to see him to play at least 25 minutes. At minimum, just because, again, he's still your best point guard on the team. You need to have somebody who has the competency and the intelligence and the talent to be able to run this squad, since this squad is basically starting afresh all over again. And that doesn't mean necessarily that Neal Akita is completely absolved from all point guard duties. You can still have him bring the ball up and set up a couple of sets. And then you can have Trey Burke using his speed and he's still a threat to knock down a three. He's gonna you know, garner a lot of attention. So that opens up Knox. That opens up Cantor. That opens up a lot of avenues. So either way, 25 minutes on the court or more is ideal for me for a Trey Burke, considering that he has a lot to prove. The Knicks need to utilize him correctly, and he's your best point guard. I don't see how any other way you can do that. Am I still here?
Yeah, you are.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Dom. Anything else you like to add, or anything else you want to move on to Mitchell Robinson, Dom, and then Chandler, and then go back to Av?
The funny thing about all three of these guys, Moutier, Ntilikina, and Burke, you look at their careers of where they're at with years in the league, and even as Burke started falling off, feeling himself, whatever, he still outplayed Moutier. And his first year, he outplayed Ntilikina's first year. The age difference might have been a year or two. And, of course, he had more time in college, where we kept saying, well, Ntilikina played in Europe. Well, you know what? Burke got to the Final Four while he was playing pro ball in Europe. So you look at their careers, guys, and from that age, that time in the league to now, minus Ntilikina because he's still younger and not a lot of time, their careers mirrored each other. And Moutier was probably as highly touted as Burke coming out of college. And he outplayed him. He outplayed him in both their third years in the league while he was falling off. When Moutier fell off, he fell off. And he fell off big time. What it was, lack of minutes, falling out the rotation, whatever. That all happened for a reason. But if you have the time, guys, look at their stats and see how their first, second, third, fourth years mirrored one each other. But Burks kept going up. Then when he fell off, he still was better than him. Then he went to the G League, came back, still was better than him. Statistic-wise, guys, to me, he's a better ball player, point blank, end of conversation. But when you talk about stats, and Knickerbocker hit it on the head, and I'm going to let it go after this, he's the best point guard the Knicks have. So I don't know, you know, the Fizdale mojo or whatever, but I always believed in you put your best five guys on the court when the ball goes up minute one. So, again, we don't know what Fizdale's going to do, but Knickerbocker hit it on the head. He's the best point guard we got.
Chandler, anything else you'd like to add? And Av, same with you then before we move on. Chandler, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm good. I'm good on Burke.
Cool. Av, anything else you would like to add? And if you want, go ahead and lead off with Mitchell Robinson, huh?
I got nothing to follow, but I mean, personally, Mitchell Robinson, to me, right now he's looking to me like the steal of the draft. The fact that he was – I mean, I completely understand why he fell to the second round, but, I mean – if anybody paid attention to what he was in, you know, in high school and in the McDonald's All-American game a couple of years ago, and, you know, then if you paid attention to, you know, to just subtle movements that he does during the summer league, I think this guy can develop into be a great replacement for Enes Kanter when he finally goes away. And I don't think it'll take him that long, as long as, you know, Fizdale does utilize, you know, give him the quality minutes. I mean, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, I think is good for him, because you would figure that Kanter and eventually Porzingis would eat up the majority of the bulk minutes down low. But I think this guy can be a very prolific shot blocker. He can be if he plays his cards right, he can probably be the best big man in the NBA, which that's not saying much, considering that big men are becoming a thing of the with his size, his athletic ability, and the fact that he was held out for a whole year. You would hope that he stayed so hungry, and so, you know, and still humbled and kept himself in the proper shape. Throughout this whole time that he was away, while he was not playing in college and just working out, you would hope that the Knicks training camp and during these practices, he's getting the much needed tutelage and the much needed you know conditioning from these coaches and from the other players, from Kanter. I don't know what Joe Kim Noah is doing these days. I have no clue, But if he's getting you know, those reps and he's getting, you know, that experience, if he plays his cards right, he could be something that that'd be very valuable in the future. And that's all I really can say about Mitchell Robinson. There's not, I mean, yeah, he has to add weight. I'm sure you've seen plenty of the, you know, plenty of the draft boards and the draft analysis and stuff like that. You know, he needs to add weight. He needs to work on his shot, this, that, and the third. But I think this guy can be an, you know, he has the ability to be a big time rebounder, a big time shot blocker, a great of a threat down low. You know, eventually he can develop that. He just needs some time.
Hey, Dominic, what about you? What's your thoughts?
The thing about this young man, just reading about him, because, of course, we didn't see a lot about him, see him a lot. He rolled the dice on himself, and you got to give him credit for that. But here's the funny thing, guys. He's coming into the league now, and he's fitting today's NBA. The getting up and down the court. He's athletic for a guy his size. He's a shot blocker. Again, think about that. Him, Knox, Burke coming down on a break. You know, that speed, athleticism, this is the NBA, guys. I keep beating that horse to death. Yes, he may be a good shot blocker. May turn out to be a great defensive player, but that ain't the NBA. But he has that other role. He can only get better, guys. He's 20 years old, and he sacrificed 1 year of his life training himself. He took the ultimate gamble on himself, and he got drafted in the NBA. And from what we've seen of him in the summer league, which I don't take a lot of credence in, he showed promise. And all I could think about is his youth and his athleticism and today's NBA, where he's running up and down the court. Like Knickerbocker have said, big guys are a dime a dozen. But the ones that are a dime a dozen, can they keep up with him coming up and down that court? That will remain to be seen. But he brings the dimension the Knicks need to catch up to where the NBA is going. We burned 5 years between Phil Jackson, the five coaches in 6 years. We wasted 5 years of catching up to the NBA. Now we got some of the pieces that could at least put us in the realm of catching up. Again, we went over this the last time I was on the phone. 2 years ago, last in the league in fast break point. Last year, fifth from last in the NBA in fast break point. This guy brings the dimension to the Knicks that fits the NBA mold. So you could only wish this guy the best, man. Just that one taking a risk on himself, not going to college, working out. Somebody's seen something in him, guys. I wish him nothing but the best. But I know one thing. If he pans out to a quarter or half of what we think he can be in today's NBA, he's got a future. What's Fizdale going to do? That seems to be the million-dollar question with us every week. What's Fizdale going to do? The talk is over. Training camp will be starting soon. Let's see what Fizdale's got up his sleeve.
All right. Hey, Chandler, what about yourself? What's your thoughts on Mitchell Robinson?
Initially, not physically. Physically, the kid is gifted. We all know that. I was skeptical because there was some maturity issues, let's call it that, with Mr. Robinson. Not because of where he went to school or anything else, not because he decided, listen, I don't want to go to class, but there were some maturity issues. It is what it is. When I look at him now, and by the way, Kevin Knox, get off Twitter, okay? I'm tired of hearing from Kevin Knox. Seriously, tired of hearing from Kevin Knox. Tired of you tweeting, shut up. I haven't heard a peep from Mitchell Robinson. Not one word. I like that. I like the fact that I ain't heard nothing from Mitchell Robinson. It tells me all he's doing is working. Mitchell Robinson, to me, right now, his ceiling is the Vin Baker before Vin crawled in the bottle. I'm talking 21-10 or 21-9 in his second year, Vin Baker. Skill set right now. Right now, that's his skill set. If he's mature, if he's got his head right, because initially I didn't think Mitchell Robinson should make this team out of training camp. Joakim Noah's gone. The Knicks can say what they want, but they're not bringing Noah back. For whatever reason, they decided they don't want Joakim Noah on his team. I got a problem with that, but whatever. I think Mitchell Robinson, if his head is right, listen, like I said, I'm seeing the young pre-alcoholic Vin Baker in this young man. That's where I think he is right now. And I'm not trying to, you know, it's not a lot of hyperbole for me. That's where I think he is right now. So if his head is right, it's going to get ugly for a lot of teams with that young man. And like I said, I like the fact that he's not on Twitter. He's not on Instagram. He's not posting anything. He's just working, which tells me that the maturity issue that I was worried about may be overblown for me. So, you know what? I'm going to have to get on board with Mitchell Robinson being the steal of the draft. I am. I'm going to have to get on board with that.
You know, I didn't think he's going to fall that far. And I like the risk at the position at the draft. We got to see him in the summer league. And, you know, and I argue with fans, not just Knicks fans, but just fans in general, Av, Dominic, and Chandler. Not everybody's path to the NBA is going to be the same. This is not like 20, 25 years ago, 20, 25 plus years ago, where you had to go to UCLA, you had to go to Georgetown, you had to go to Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. Like, the times have totally changed. If you choose to go to a smaller school, there's potential there, especially in college basketball, because all you need to do is have a good RPI, get into the NCAA tournament, and you can showcase your skills. And not only that, let's not talk about the AAU contact, the AAU people that you meet along the way. There could be some downside in the sense of, or even upside. It could go either way. When you don't have a full year of full physical contact basketball, you still have a lot of tread on the tire. So he didn't go through a full college basketball season. Remember, he went to Western Kentucky. I think his godfather or his father, you know, his godfather really. He used to play for North Carolina. That was Williams, the Williams guard guy. He used to be coaching, and he left, and then Robinson left, and just pretty much dedicated his all season to just working out. I know, and it's weird because we hear all these complaints from people saying they should stay in college, they should not stay in college. When we know, for the most part, a lot of these guys have to go through the college route to get to the NBA for the most part. I mean, it's very rare if they decide to go to Europe and do it professionally at the age of 17, 18, and really develop like that. So when it comes back to when I say about this with Mitchell Robinson, he has a raw skill talent where it doesn't matter to me what I saw, how he played in the summer league. And then some of it in his high school basketball tournaments some of the high school tournaments that he was in, it doesn't bother me because I see the skill set against people at his competition on his level. So it's going to take some years to really get it developed. But what you can't teach is leaping ability and his ability to block shots. And you see he's a quick leaper. I love that. You can't teach that. There's no way around that. And glad to have him. I don't know what the plans are exactly as far as fitting them into the rotation, but as far as the next couple of years window for the Knicks, I'm definitely glad to have him, man. I'm definitely glad that he fell to us all the way down, because I think a lot of people are just sleeping on him because he didn't play in college. It's just that simple. What I did see out of his take, Av, and I need to go back to you real quick. He has an awkward set shot. You didn't really see that on display. He's probably going to be working on his jump shot. I don't know if he's going to be one of those guys that's going to have work on some offensive moves. I mean, some guys develop that later in life. I don't see that right now in the short term. But defensively, like Dominic said, we have something in the sense of a rim protector. It's something the Knicks really don't have and haven't had in a long time. So, anything else you'd like to add? And if any have any questions or comments for Dominic, and of course Chandler, and vice versa for the other guys, if you have any questions or comments for you guys for yourselves.
Well, everything that everyone said about Mitchell Robinson is been pretty much, you know, in pretty much spot on. And I like how Dom just said that he bet on himself, and that's something that, you know, that, I mean, let's be realistic. In the NBA, if you bet on yourself, you're talking about guys like LeBron and KD, and this is a guy who's already doing that by not going to the traditional ranks. And you're right, Steve. Not everyone's path to the NBA is through the collegiate level. Unfortunately, some guys do go overseas. Some guys, you know, go straight from high school. It just happens. I mean, I'm not saying he's Kobe. I'm not saying he's Jermaine O'Neal. I'm not saying he's, you know, Kevin Garnett or anything. But they made it. They made it straight through. You know, this guy can, you know, can bet on himself like the way he did, and it could pay dividends for him. It also can end disastrously depending on how he plays. It all depends on him. But I guess my question to Dominic and Chandler is that this goes back to something that I said last week. And you know, Steve, you and I, we kind of debated this a little bit. I feel that, you know, for the Knicks' future, before Porzingis does get back, this whole thing kind of like is incumbent on Kevin Knox, because I don't really want to put my faith in Tim Hardaway Jr. Even though you can say that it is his team, at the moment it's his team. But I think that to make this team attractive and, you know, for it to be competitive, it does rely a little bit more heavily on Kevin Knox, despite that his antics on Twitter. But I think it does rely a lot on him. Dom, Chandler, do you guys agree with that assessment? Does, you know, a little bit of the future, more of the future, rely on Kevin Knox than we originally thought?
Go ahead, Dom.
Well, the one thing I could say before I get into that is with the Robinson, and you brought up a good point, Steve, about guys going overseas, doing this. But how many times has the NBA laid stock in a guy that's coming from Europe, and then we say, oh, we still got to give him 2 or 3 years to get acclimated to the NBA? So shouldn't Robinson get that same alibi? He's basically their age coming out of Europe. He's got talent. We seem to give alibis for the guys coming from Europe, but we'll take a young guy that's coming, whether it's through the system or through what Robinson's doing, and we look at him like, well, you know, he should do. No, it's no different. We're laying stock in these guys in Europe who never played pro ball. Robinson never played pro ball. He took a shot on himself. He worked out himself. He didn't waste his time going to Europe. Because maybe he thought, I'm going to get that stigma. Oh, he played in Europe. We still got to give him a year or two. I don't believe in that. And you know what? When it comes to Knox, first and foremost, I can't put credence or anything into this team being Hardaway's team. I'm sorry. I would sooner take a shot on an 18, 19-year-old, be it Knox or anybody else with some good young talent. Because Hardaway has proven over and over again that he's inconsistent. He's super hyper on too many occasions. He don't know when to control himself when his shot's not falling. So for me to even think that, okay, a matter of fact, come on, guys, we saw it last year when Porzingis went down and we thought Hardaway was going to be that guy. And he gave us a good game here, 3 bad games there, a good game here. He's just not consistent enough for me to put some stock into him. Again, I would put stock into Knox before that. But which, again, leads me back to having a guy like Knox and Trey Burke on the court at the same time. We're getting versatility. We're getting athleticism. We're getting guys that probably have a better mindset at their age. Because believe it or not, I think Burke and Hardaway might be the same age, year or so different. But to me, Hardaway has never showed that word that Chandler just used, that maturity level. When you know you're the guy that they got to go to now, even if it's a temporary basis, you haven't proved that, man. I'm sorry. It's no knock on Hardaway. Maybe he's just not that guy. You know, everybody don't fit that role. You know, you could say, well, you know, he's got to step up. Well, you know what? The funny thing is the guy we're overlooking was the guy that really stepped up when Porzingis went down, and that was Kanter. The nightly double-double kept you in the game. His head's on pretty square all the time. You know, not afraid to hit the boards. We could say what we want about his defense. We could say that about 95% of the players in the NBA. But it just wasn't Hardaway. So you add this guy, Burke, and again, I sound like Chandler sometimes because I think me and Chandler get on that Fizdale thing. It's still dependent on what Fizdale's going to do.
you know, is he going to have the mindset of, well, you know, Porzingis ain't here. We got to go with Hardaway as our go-to guy. Well, no, we've been there, done that. I mean, it's got to be another plan. I'd sooner see everybody step up a little more than us to rely on that one guy. And as far as Knox is concerned, I love his bravado. You know, let's not forget, guys, we're New Yorkers. We're Knicks fans that have suffered for years. If a guy's going to come in and put a little extra added pressure on himself, maybe he'll spark somebody else to, you know what, these losing ways got to change. So I can't knock him for that. Should he chill out on social media? Yeah, most of us should. So I love what he's doing. I love what he's saying. And I think with a combination of him and Burke, we can rely less on Hardaway. Burke, Knox, Cantor, that should be enough to at least keep us in the game. Because guess what? Cantor's the same way as Knox. He'll talk a lot of trash. He wants the Knicks to win. You got to give guys kudos for that, guys. We haven't had this in a minute. We had the Mellow Ball. We had the Linsanity for a second. We've had a million coaches. Let's just see what, again, I love talking, but until we figure out what Fizdale's going to do, what his game plan is, hopefully somebody could, you know, tweet him or email him these conversations we have. It'll strike a chord in his head. I don't know. But, nah, I'm not putting much credence in Hardaway, guys. I'm sorry.
John, what's your thoughts?
I just can't depend on Kevin Knox. Some about him just don't sit right with me. And it could just be that I didn't want him. Maybe that's what it is coming through. I'm just not relying on Kevin Knox. I think for the Knicks to take the next step forward without Porzingis, I think Cantor has to remain what he is. I think Frank, Dotson, Burke, Cornette all have to take a step forward. Specifically, Frank, I'd like to see Dotson step up. Now, Knox has to show some progression, but I think the biggest progression has to come from Frank. We have to know who our guards are going to be. We have to know who the guards are going to be. And I think if we're depending upon Knox to be the man, I think that's wrong. I don't see us being successful. I think Knox needs to be, say, 2A. But I think Frank and Burke need to be 1A and 1B in order for this season to be successful, so that whether Porzingis comes back or not, and whenever he does come back, he doesn't have to come back and be a savior. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, for me personally, I don't see Knox as being the guy that has to take over for Porzingis. I think it has to be Burke and Frank. I think it has to be the guards. I really do. I think it's got to be the guards. Because, again, I don't trust Hardaway either. And if you look at the rest of the roster, who else is there, really? Mudiay, come on. We can't depend on Mudiay. And I don't want to put everything on the shoulders of a rookie. I don't. I don't want to say, hey, come in and save this team. I don't want to do that. Because if he has such a great first season, you know what's going to happen the second season. Oh, he ain't scoring enough points now. He ain't doing this. He ain't doing that. You know how we are as Knicks fans. So I'd rather see him play a supporting role and have Burke and Frank do the majority of the heavy lifting.
All right, Av, to answer your question, thank you very much, Chandler and Dom. To answer your question, as far as Kevin Knox, right now, is that the question as far as, is he the go-to guy is what you're asking, Av?
I think my question, he's not the go-to guy, but he would have to do a lot more than we initially expected of him, considering the fact that, like Chandler said, because I didn't want Knox either. I've been very, very boisterous that I wanted Michael Bridges, but because we didn't get him, we ended up getting Kevin Knox. Knox has a scoring ability. Knox has, you know, some intangibles that he does need to work on, but he does have the talent that can take over most threes in the league. I personally feel that he's not the go-to guy, but he has to be a much more prominent focal point in the offense. Because just like everyone else has said, if you rely too much on Tim Hardaway Jr., you're asking for, you know, one night 35 points, the next night a 1-for-12 shooting, and maybe 4 points.
I trust Trey Burke with the ball in his hands more than any Nick on this roster. I don't trust Tim Hardaway Jr. to, on a night in, night out basis, to, because he could be very, what's the word I'm looking for? He could be really
J.R. Smith.
Yeah, like, you know, he could be really, I would say off, but streaky. That's the word, streaky. I like consistency. I like high shot percentages. Hardaway Jr. has that game like once a month in him, and then the rest of the month he goes disappearing. As far as Kevin Knox, I don't have this high expectation of him as far as trying to take us to the promised land and win games on a nightly basis, or just even, you know, on a once every week or every 2 week basis. I look at Kevin Knox like this, just a contributor. He's a young guy. He's definitely a thorough high school basketball player. Went to a good college as far as recruitment and showcasing. But as far as they're going to break him, well, I think they will break him in easy. I don't think they're going to just hand him the keys right away. I don't see that. So they're going to lean on to some veterans to get there, and there's going to be a day that it's going to be a Kevin Knox time. I just don't think it's this year. And for the record, let me say like this about Porzingis. I'm not in a rush to get him back this year at all. If he has to sit out the majority of this year, even if the entire year, I think his personal goal is probably get back after All-Star break, get in some games, and then feel good about himself. But I'm not in a rush for a 7-3 guy coming off a terrible injury to get back on a loss year anyway. That's pretty much all I had to add on that. Real quick, Av, if we got two pick twos with the Cavaliers, the Thunder, how you feel those teams are going to be? Then we go to Dominic and Chandler and go around for final thoughts. And Knickerbocker having a fan forum.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have shifted. They're back to what they were when LeBron left them the first time, probably even worse. Just now they have Kevin Love. And they got Sexton. And I mean, that's a plus. But Cleveland is going to have a hard time trying to, you know, we know for a fact they're not going to repeat as Eastern Conference champions. That ship has sailed. I see them as a lottery team, to be honest with you. But since the Eastern Conference is weak, I mean, I think their ceiling right now is 8th seed. To be perfectly honest, I mean that's the ceiling. I just don't see how they would be able to make up for the huge, you know, for the presence that LeBron gave them. Plus, I really didn't see that they made many other, you know, decisions or any changes to the team. Let's be realistic. Now Tyronn Lue has to coach because he wasn't coaching for the last 3 years. So now he kind of has to coach this team and really, you know, earn that title. How else can I say it? The Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't want to consider Carmelo Anthony a cancer. It's not because he's a former Nick or that I like the guy, but I think that they just misused him, and they expected, you know, they expected one thing, and they got another, and they just realized that Carmelo Anthony is a different kind of player, and that's why they suffered as much as they did. But it's still going to be exciting for them. You know, they still have PG, they still have Westbrook. They still have a lot of the core pieces of that team still there, and it's going to be interesting. I see them as a 5 or 6 seed in the West. They would have to really make up a lot of ground, and I just don't see how they're going to be able to do it. You know, considering their exit last year, but Westbrook is still going to be Westbrook. He's still going to be padding his stats. He's still going to be, you know, a walking triple-double a night. I think Paul George will probably take a step up, despite the fact that he is getting older. You know, the injuries are starting to really, you know, eventually we'll start catching up with him a little bit more. And I just don't know if they have enough firepower on that bench. I really don't think that they do. And this Western Conference, now that it's a lot tougher with LeBron being in L.A., the Golden State Warriors still being the Warriors, the Rockets now a little bit tougher with Melo, and hopefully they'll be able to, you know, utilize him correctly. And I think Oklahoma City, they're still a playoff team, but I don't think that they're going to exceed anybody's expectations, especially after their embarrassing loss last year.
All right. Hey, Dom, same question for you. Cavs, Thunder, and plus, if you could give us your final thoughts as well within that, and we'll go back to Chandler and then go back to our final thoughts. But, Dom, your thoughts on the Cavs and the Thunder and your final thoughts.
One thing, the Cavs are not in the same position they was when they let LeBron go the first time. This time they have good young talent. Last time they rolled the dice on some whack draft picks minus Kyrie Irving. Remember, guys, they picked up Hood. Can he become the Hood he was supposed to be? Clarkson, Nance, and you got Love. You still got Thompson. Can he come back to be that guy? You got a point guard. I think Cleveland's going to do a lot better than people think. They're definitely, I hate to go against Knickerbocker Ave, they're definitely not going to be the Cavs that they were when LeBron left the first time. I don't see that happen. They actually stole a lot of players and built themselves in the event LeBron left. So they wouldn't be a laughing stock. The Thunder, well, you know what? I'm not a big LeBron fan. I mean, a Melo fan. But they're going to do good. And guess what? Now this other kid that showed some potential last year, Ferguson, he may get some more playing time without Melo being around. You know, they got a good young squad, too. They got some good young players. Can Nerlens Noel just come in and pitch in since their bench was such a headache? They picked up Schroeder. They're going to get Robinson back to defense. They still got Adams. They still got, say what you want about Westbrook. Westbrook put up a triple-double, got Oklahoma City for the playoffs, and last year they pick up Melo and had damn near the same exact record. So it's a win-win for them, for me. They'll still be a 4-6 seed because they're in the West. My final thoughts, guys, I'm not putting a lot of stock into Knox. I'm just putting some hope into this kid because we finally got ourselves a good draft pick. And going back to something Chandler said, you know, with the Ntilikina. Well, you know, we gave Ntilikina that first year alibi. Didn't turn out too good. We happened to pick up a decent point guard in Burke. So let's give Knox the benefit of the doubt for an 18, 19-year-old. He's another one, guys, got raw talent. So I wish him the best. I wish the Knicks the best. And I thank you guys again.
And congratulations on the win for your Jets. That was a very impressive thing, man. You guys were repping, man.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, that was impressive, man. Wow, I loved it. Loved it. Shout-outs to Dominic, man, Donardo DP. Chandler, your final thoughts. Cavs, Thunder, and your final thoughts. And then, of course, Knickerbocker Avenue.
Well, listen, any team Kevin Love is on, I just don't have any faith in. Kevin Love is trash, always has been. He's a stat patter. So these are going to be the Cleveland Timberwolves. I don't see them making the playoffs with Kevin Love as their leading player. I don't. I like the team. I like the talent on the team. I just don't like Kevin Love as a leader or any type of thing like that because we saw what he did in Minnesota. So until Kevin Love is gone, I'll give them, you know, they'll fight for the eighth seed in Cleveland. Hopefully he gets, I ain't gonna say hopefully, but maybe he gets hurt or something and the other guys can step up. Then I can see them being a 6 or 7 seed. But with Kevin Love as the star player on that team, I don't see them going anywhere because we've already seen this show with Kevin Love. Oklahoma City Thunder, they have the talent to be a top 3 team in the West, but Billy Donovan is still a coach. As long as Billy Donovan is their coach, they'll be a 6 or 7 seed. They're the Washington Wizards of the Western Conference. A really talented team with a terrible coach, so I'm not buying anything about them in the Oklahoma City Thunder as long as Billy Donovan is the coach, because Billy Donovan has managed to screw that up since he's been there. I guess the final thoughts, man, is listen, like I said, Kevin Knox, get the hell off of Twitter.
And congratulations to you too, sir, on the win for your Jets, man. Shout out to the ETS Jets. He said, who? Screw who? Darnold?
I didn't want Sam Darnold. The only good thing about Sam Darnold being a quarterback is Todd Bowles will get fired.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I remember you said that. That's right. That's Night Channel 7, man, and also Channel 9 on Instagram. Thank you very much, sir. Avenue, your final thoughts. Cavaliers, Thunder, final thoughts on this episode. And, of course, Av, tell everybody about the roundtable you guys had and along with your final thoughts. I know we're out of time, but go ahead and fire away, man.
Well, stay tuned to theomnifan.com, where myself and the lovely ladies of OmniFan, we had a roundtable discussion. It was recorded live. You can hear my live, my live analysis on certain topics, most notably Kevin Durant possibility going to the Knicks, as that's like a happy-go-lucky rumor that people like to use as clickbait. But my final thoughts is Trey Burke. If you can hear me, I hope that you understand the situation. You're the best point guard on the team. I hope that you're the man starting. I hope you're the man that's playing the quality minutes. You're the best guy for this job. Under no circumstance should the starting point guard position go to anyone else other than Trey Burke. He should get his contract eventually. Not right now, of course, because once you feed the guy, then he gets full. Make sure that this guy stays hungry. Aside from that, at Nick Abaka on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Go to theomnifan.com. You know, if you want a chance to win the ultimate Knicks OmniFan contest, the contest begins on Monday, September 17th, and it'll run to Sunday, September 23rd. Visit theomnifan.com for details on how you can be part of that. And as always, Sangre Azul, bleed blue all day, every day. Knickerbocker Ave, signing out.
And shout out to the guys, man. Dominic Chandler, of course, Knickerbocker Avenue. This episode, of course, is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. And also on bleedblueshow.com. It's going to be up there pretty much on the front page of bleedblueshow.com. You can stream it right from your smartphone devices. So, Av, you know, Knicks fans and sports fans, they could go right to bleedblueshow.com, listen to the episode, open up a new window, and start trolling other Knicks fans on their posts in their groups and Twitters, so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying?
That conversation was fun. And it's good to have different perspectives on what a real diehard fan, because that diehard fan podcast that you and I recorded,
yes,
that was fire. I listened to it twice already today, and it still gives me goosebumps.
It's biblical, brother. It's biblical. That's what it's about, man. We'll be back next week. Sangre Azul, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.